Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
So good to be with you this morning, to have so many people out beginning the year with celebrating Jesus. And I really do hope that over this Christmas New Year period, you've had a great time with family and friends just celebrating the incredible gift that Jesus Christ is to us. Well, guys, there's always important questions to ask at the beginning of a new year. So I've got one for you right now. Do you use our app? Why are you laughing? It's a serious question. In front of you is there's a QR code, or you can scan your phone there if you want, but there's a whole heap of great stuff on our app, and it helps you engage with this message. If you actually go to that now, there is a worksheet in there that you can fill in during this message, and at the bottom of that worksheet is a place that you can actually take notes. So this helps you engage with every message that we actually do. And there's also a Bible app that is connected to our app as well, so you can go and check to make sure that the passages I'm reading and that I touch on today are accurate. And of course, you can go back and listen to previous messages, and you can also find those messages on our website and on YouTube. But the app is an awesome thing, and it's a great way to start developing good habits and to stay connected with us as a people of God as well. Every new year, we are faced with decisions, with resolutions, and newfound determination to transform ourselves into a better version of what we were last year. Amen? If you're anything like me, that usually falls by the wayside by about the 2nd of January. Anyone last longer than that? Everyone's laughing, no one's putting their hand up. This year, I'm going to be a healthier me. This year, I'm going to stick to my budget. This year, I'm going to be more organized. I'm sure some of us have said things like that. These types of resolutions aren't necessarily bad. And sometimes the readjustment that they call for are exactly what we need to do. But if Jesus was standing before us and he was to ask us a question, I wonder if he'd be asking us about what we wanted to fix. Or would he ask a much deeper question, a more challenging question? Would he ask us, who are we actually living for? Now, at the beginning of a new year, it's a great time to examine our lives, to take an honest look at where we are and what we're doing, and particularly it's a great time to look at where we are in our faith. Are we following Jesus? Are we doing this simply out of habit? Are we doing this because it's what we've always done, or because it's what our family have always done? Or are we following him with genuine resolve, steadfastly following him with a commitment to the convictions of our faith and a determination to live within the will of God? So at the heart of our series that we're just starting is this question: are you for real? And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be exploring what it means to live with unwavering faith and to grow in spiritual maturity as we allow God's Spirit to shape us into the people he wants us to be. And from the outset, though, I need you to hear that this isn't about being perfect. This isn't about checking off a checklist, ticking all the right boxes. This isn't about meeting a certain standard. This is all-inclusive. This is for each and every one of us. It's about you. It's about your faith. It's about asking whether your faith is deeply anchored, resolved. And that's our word for the year, resolved. And what we're talking about isn't emotional. It isn't one of those mountaintop experiences. We want to pare everything back. We want to get back to the very basics. And this is about each and every believer deciding to have a settled, steadfast determination to follow God's will. That's what we mean when we say resolved. It begins with a commitment to live our lives rooted and founded upon all that Jesus said and the very convictions of our faith. Today we're focusing on seeking God first, regardless of our situation or circumstances, regardless of what comes against us. We have to get back to the foundations of our faith and realize that Jesus calls us to follow him. And when he calls us to follow him, he's calling us to a different way of living. He wants us to live a life that is shaped by trust and dependence upon him. And that trust and dependence is for all our spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. Some of you may be in that place right now, and that is absolutely awesome. And you know how good it is to be in that space where you trust God fully. But for some of us, perhaps we were there once. Perhaps we experienced that time where we knew God's presence and power and we trusted him. And then something came up and you slipped away from that. Perhaps some of us have never actually made that step where we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So you've got no idea what we're talking about this morning. For each and every one of us, my desire and my hope, and certainly the leadership hope, is that with each of these messages, you'll all be moved one step closer to God. For those who know him and those who don't, we just want you one step closer to God. Where you are is part of your journey. And we hope that you'll be able to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. But when we do that, that's just the start. If we want life and life to the full, Jesus calls us to resolve our focus and to seek first his kingdom. Before we do anything else, Jesus says we must resolve where our focus lies. And he says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. I remember growing up in the church, and trust me, I didn't believe when I was growing up in the church, but we were told just to say the prayer. If you just say the prayer, accept Jesus into your heart, you're in, and that's all you have to do. But when I look at Scripture, when I look at what this verse says, there's so much more that is demanded, so much more that is requested. And this calls for something that is ongoing and is something that is constant. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus calls each and every person to follow him. And in following him, they're called to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow him. Think about that. When I'm called to deny myself, God is calling me to put aside my wants, what I think is right, what I think is best. And in fact, he calls me to put to death my old self. And he calls me to rise to a new life in Christ. It's a call to count the cost. It requires sacrifice. It requires commitment. And it requires effort. And the call isn't a call for tomorrow. It's a call for right now. I'm not sure about you, but in my Christian walk, I've encountered so many people, so many of my friends who say that they'll think about Jesus when they're older. They've got so many other things they want to do before they consider giving their life to Christ. But the reality is, we never know what today is going to bring. If you were to die today, where would your eternal destiny be? We never know what tomorrow will bring either. Jesus doesn't say, seek my kingdom when you've had your fun and done everything you want. Jesus doesn't say, seek my kingdom when you've completed uni. Seek my kingdom when you've reached those career goals that you have. Seek my kingdom when you've got your life sorted out. He doesn't say that. He says, seek first, or seek the kingdom above all else. And what we need to realize is Jesus isn't an add-on to our life. We don't get to keep doing what we've always done and have Jesus as part of that. Jesus says he isn't an addition to our lives. He becomes the purpose of our lives. He isn't just our Savior. He also must be our Lord. And he and his kingdom are meant to be the center of our lives. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, Paul reiterates Jesus' message and he calls us to shift our focus from the things of the earth, the worldly material things, and to set our minds on the things that are above. And part of this is echoed in the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. What we're actually saying, what our resolve here is that we choose to be obedient to the Lord. And when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're saying, Lord, start with me. I choose your kingdom. I choose to obey you as you are obeyed in glory. I choose to live out my life as they do in heaven. We're saying, this year, Lord, I will align my life around your will, your reign, your values, your ways, and your purposes. And when you sit back, just think about what I've just said. Is that true for you? And guys, I want to give you the power to ask me, is that true for me? Because we all need to ask that question. Is God and his kingdom shaping all of our decisions, or is he only consulted after we've already decided? How many decisions have you made in life that you've worried about after you've made that decision, or you've second-guessed why you've done what you've done? And can I ask you, do you think that would change if you had gone to God first? Do you think that would have changed if you had asked him what he would have you do in that situation? Let's be those who consult God in everything. As followers of Jesus, we are called to release our worry and trust God's provision. And if we go to him first, we can help alleviate a lot of that. But it's easy to say, isn't it? Don't worry, guys. But it's not my words. It's not something I've come up with. Matthew 6:25 says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Matthew 6:27 says, can all your worries add a single moment? Matthew 6:28 says, why worry about your clothing? Matthew 6:31 says, don't worry about these things. What shall we eat? Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. And I'm sure you'll agree that Jesus really hones in on this theme and subject of worry at the end of the Matthew passages here. And they're things that we often worry about, things that we're often concerned about. We're concerned about our life. We're concerned about what we'll wear. We're concerned about what we will eat. And so many of us have things coming tomorrow and we really don't know what's going to happen. And we're concerned and worried about those things as well. When we worry, do we ever take that step back and ask, why am I worried about this? What is really going on? What is prompting this? Because our worries and anxiety reveal what we believe and ultimately where we place our trust to deliver us from whatever is concerning us. Worry grows to a disturbing level when we see no way out. And that very phrase indicates that I'm relying on my own strength and abilities instead of God. But we need to understand, especially as we read Matthew 6 and other passages of Scripture, Jesus knows that we're going to worry. Jesus knows that we are faced with a particular problem. And he doesn't shame us. He doesn't say we're weak. He doesn't call us to have greater faith. He's inviting us as worriers to see our situation and perspective differently. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. Matthew 6:28 says, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Jesus points to the birds and to the flowers. And he's using them as an example for us. They don't strive to have what they need. They don't hoard. They don't attempt to control outcomes. And yet, he sustains them. He provides for them. And then Jesus says, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? My friends, this is a declaration of Scripture. This is something we can hold fast to. This is something that we can believe in. You are highly valued by God. Genesis 1:27 tells me that I am made in God's image. That is exclusive for us as humankind. Jeremiah 1:5 says that before I was formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. Each of the Gospels tell me that God valued me so much that he sent Jesus to rescue me from the power of sin and death. And Psalm 139 says, God has searched me and he knows me, everything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he still wants me. He still pursues me. That's true for you too, not just me. You, my friend, are more valuable to God than anything else that he created. That's a biblical truth. But worry still comes, hey? And when we worry, it narrows our vision of God. It steals our confidence in who God says we are. And it inflates my sense of responsibility to deal with and to face the things that are coming against me with my own strength and abilities. Please remember what I said before. Release your worry and trust God's provision. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I know that as we talk about some of this stuff, it's going to be difficult for some of you, but we start this with baby steps. The one small step towards God, that one small step goes a long way in beginning a life that trusts him more and more. So I'm just calling you to take one small step. So in this moment, I want you to hold to the fact that God cares for the birds and he cares for the grasses of the field, but he cares for you more than anything else in creation. So much more. So much more. Your first step today, maybe just to make a note of that passage, this passage. What does it tell us? It says, don't worry. So just do that, we're all good, hey. If only. But it tells us to pray about everything. And I know so many of us struggle with this whole idea of prayer and what it is like to pray to God. But whatever it is that comes, whatever it is that you could be worried about, just tell God straight away. That's what it says. It says, tell God. This is just a conversation. And that first prayer, as you realize something's coming against you, as you realize you could be worrying about, that first prayer could be, help me. And if you direct that to God, that is awesome. That is powerful. And it's such a great place to start. Tell God what you need. And as you do, remember how much he values you. Remember how precious you are to him. When we look at the world measures our worth through KPIs. It measures it through our productivity. It measures it through our achievements. It measures it through the influence that we have upon others. And sometimes it even measures it through our appearances. But your worth in God's kingdom isn't measured by any of those standards. It's measured by the fact that you are his. You belong. And because you belong, you are seen, you are loved, and you are valued. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're told to see how much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. When a child knows that they are loved, when they know that they are valued, when they know that they are heard, they are secure. It's been proven many, many times that children thrive in such a loving environment. And you are called a God, a child of God, and you are loved. And he wants you to thrive with him. And when we remember we are valued, who we are in Christ, I can tell you there is a peace, there is a comfort, there is a security that goes way beyond anything the world can offer. So let's start with some challenges from this message this morning. First and foremost, we need to reorder our lives. We need to put spiritual practices first. Why is this necessary? Because when Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, it isn't a suggestion or an idea. It's a call to obedience. a call that is for every follower of Jesus to constantly place Jesus and his kingdom at the center of our daily priorities. Remember that I said earlier that our resolve is to choose to obey all Jesus commanded. And if you were honest right now, if I was honest right now, what would we say about our faith? Think about a typical day for you. What do you give your time to? What demands your attention? What do you return to each day? And if you want to be all you can be for God, and if you aren't there yet, then something needs to change. You need to do something that you haven't done before. And here's a few suggestions. First and foremost, pray. Talk to God. And talk to Him first. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You may be in trouble. You may have doubts. You may have worries. You may have something that you're celebrating. Whatever is going on, talk to God about it. Tell Him what you need each and every day. Start when you wake up. Talk to Him throughout your day. Thank Him for His goodness to you. And can I suggest at the end of every day, I do this to the young people, they've heard this many times. Just before you go to sleep, think of 5 good things God has done for you in that day and thank Him for that. Secondly, I'd say, let's read the Word. You're not going to be able to understand the promises or claim the promises that are in the Bible if you don't actually read it. And again, our app is a great source for this. It has our daily devotions or Bible readings in there. You should get into that, and that will help you. It's also got a place where you can go for prayer and things like that. So the app is an awesome place to start, or you can pick up our devotion in a printed form at the welcome desk. Can also suggest that we need to be silent. And when I say silent, it's not just being quiet. It's stepping back from everything that will claim our attention. It's about providing space for God to speak to us. Resting in Him, reflecting on God and who He is and what He's done for us, His goodness, His provision, His comfort, and His love. And then can I suggest we should also pay attention? Who loved that video for the kids earlier? It's just such a powerful thing, isn't it? Targeted at kids supposedly. But it says so much to us if we were paying attention. Just go for it. You are God's kid. I think we need to look around and observe the promptings that God puts before us, which we miss so frequently. And if you want to have an impact for the kingdom, I suggest you should be praying for divine appointments each and every day. A divine appointment is someone that God brings along that you can share with, you can share the gospel message with, you can provide some of their needs, whatever it is, you pray for it and then you look for it because God will make it happen. I've seen it happen again and again and again. And we need to pay attention. When we pray for something, God's answer can come through other people. God's answer could come miraculously. God's answer could come through His Word. God's answer could come through a song that is sang in a church service. We need to pay attention to what He's doing around us and believe that He is prompting us by power of Holy Spirit. And we need to obey what Holy Spirit says. Can I also encourage you to do what you're doing here this morning, to meet with fellow believers. Joining us on a Sunday is an incredible start. It's a great place to be, and I just love being part of this church community. But if you aren't in a life group, can I encourage you to get into one? That's where true growth starts. That's where true caring occurs. That's where you get to ask questions and have those questions answered. And you have a community who comes around you and cares for you, who challenges you, who holds you accountable, and builds you up in the faith. And can I also encourage you socially to surround yourself with trusted Christian friends who also will encourage you, challenge you, and hold you accountable. This is what we call seeking a rhythm, to do these things constantly. And we do it not to earn God's favor, but to train our hearts and our minds in the things that really matter. 1 Timothy 4:7 challenges us to train ourselves to be godly. And part of what we've heard today is that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Jesus isn't denying that tomorrow is coming, but He refuses to allow what is coming tomorrow to rule what we do today. Don't let the worries of tomorrow stop you from doing something today. God's grace is given to us each and every day. It's a bit like the manna in the wilderness. There's enough for today. We don't get to stockpile it. Lamentations 3 tells us that His mercies, God's mercies, are new every morning. Make sure you get yours every day. This week, from tomorrow on, can I challenge you? Choose to seek God's kingdom first. Choose to obey all Jesus said. Choose to trust God for all your needs. Are you for real? This is between you and God. But I think it's important for you to be honest with yourself. Is God first in your life, or is He just present? Is your faith resolved? Is it established? Is it trusting? Jesus invites us into a life that is deeply anchored in the Father's care and kingdom. Can I challenge you right now? You know what's going on in your life. Can you name one area where you need to move God from the fringes to first? Can you do that now? Just asking God to forgive you and place Him center. Will you commit to seeking the rhythm that I've spoken about? And for all of us, let's choose to live this year with a faith that is real, that is deep, and that is enduring. Seek first the kingdom of God. Father God, I thank You for the power of Your word. I thank You, Lord, that it is challenging, it is encouraging, it is uplifting. And I thank You, Lord, for Your expectation that You be first in our lives. And Lord, I know that You've spoken to many people here this morning. Perhaps You've spoken to people online as well. And I just ask for those that You've spoken to, Lord, that they'll make that step, that they'll name the things that have taken priority over You, and that they'll allow You to have the rightful place in their life where You're not just their Savior, but You're also their Lord. Father, help me to submit to You afresh this year. Help us to submit afresh to You. Lord, let's seek first the kingdom of God to heaven. Seek the kingdom of God first. And let's together put You first, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.